our sound guy. At
let's grab our hymnals, and we'll stand for a final hymn this morning prior to the message. What a blessing to be together on Thanksgiving Day. This is the first time. I've been in the ministry for 1997 was my first 18 years I've been pastoring. And this is the first time that a church family was willing to come and have Thanksgiving service and dinner together as a church family. I'm so thankful for you guys. Let's stand and we'll open up to 67. Hymn 67 says about all of it here. I'm going to feed you with the spiritual food today. And the ladies have a bunch of good physical food. Jesus paid it all. Amen? I'm so glad he did.
Amen.
For me, first, third, and fourth. The Vina Hall wrote,
hear the Savior say, thy strength.
Church. Oh, how we love the words to that old hymn of the faith. Praise the Lord. And that one we didn't sing was the second stanza, which reads, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Melts the heart of stone. I'm so glad on October 3rd, 1986, Jesus melted Bob Oliver's heart. Amen. And gave me a new one. Wow. Where would we be without him? Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. And we'll get right to our Thanksgiving Day message. It's a real privilege for me to be able to preach the Word of God on Thanksgiving Day. First time. First time ever. And I count it a privilege. Let's open up to the book of Psalms this morning, church. The book of Psalms. And I want to bring up... I had a good time last night after all the kids fell asleep. And John and Zena and Miriam all fell asleep. I was working on this morning's sermon. And I said, you know, Lord, this is going to preach. Because I want to bring a message this morning that the Lord gave to me on biblical Thanksgiving. biblical Thanksgiving. Amen? A lot of folks don't understand what Thanksgiving is all about. But I guarantee you, by the time I get through with this message, you'll know and understand what biblical Thanksgiving means. Look with me here in Psalms 136, people. Psalms 136, we will stand for the reading of God's holy word. And I won't be long this morning, but I've got a message that's got to come out. Oh boy, I am so thankful for the mercy of God upon my soul. Amen? So thankful. And look with me here. In Psalm 136, David is going to teach us what biblical Thanksgiving is all about. And we read Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought Israel out from amongst them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an inheritance, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Who give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. I want to speak to you this morning, beloved, on biblical Thanksgiving. Father in heaven, how we thank You that Your mercy endureth forever. Lord, how we thank You this morning that if we don't have two nickels to rub together, we can lift our hands to heaven and thank You for Your mercy endureth forever. Lord, we thank You for giving us the real possession in life that is worth thanking heaven for, and that is His mercy. Lord, I'm so thankful that You took this poor wicked sinner and made something out of my life because Your mercy endureth forever. Thank You for that, Lord. And we ask You to bless Your word this morning and by Your Holy Spirit give us insight and understanding in these truths in Psalm 136 concerning Your glorious mercy, for the which we give Thee thanks today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, it never ceases to amaze me of what some people seem to thank God for. Some people thank God for their high-paying job. Others thank God for their bank account balance. Some thank Him for their big, beautiful house, or their brand new car, or their friends, or their new smartphone, or their health, or popularity, or their wardrobe. But church, how many people are thankful for the mercy of God, which they have received through His Son? I'm here to tell you this morning something, church, that is worthy of being thankful for, and that is His mercy. I don't care what else I get in this life. I've gotten the greatest possession a man can have. Beloved, I want to give you the single most important gift that any human being in this world can ever receive. And that is the mercy of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? If you want it, you've got to go through Jesus Christ to get it. No one else can offer you this mercy of heaven. And I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, that there is no greater need of the human soul. No greater gift that may be received. No greater blessing that a man might acquire than the infinite mercy of God for his sins. Here in Psalm 136, like a resonating divine heartbeat, we hear the drum roll of heavenly mercy beating over and over and over. No less than 26 times. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad this morning that his mercy endures forever? It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. His mercy endures forever. For all those who will receive it, his mercy endures forever. I want to give you five things this morning, church, concerning biblical thanksgiving. The first one is this. First of all, I'm going to use verse 26 as my text. I see five things in verse 26. First, we need to first see those who need his mercy. Amen? First of all, notice those who need his mercy. Verse 26, David says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." I got a question for you, church. Who is David speaking to in verse 26? "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." He's crying out, listen carefully. David is clearly pointing to all those who stand in need of God's mercy. And he proclaims that it is available to all those who will accept it. Amen. I love that. I'm so glad that God is willing to be merciful to any sinner who will come to him through his Son on his terms. He uses the example here of his believing people Israel down in Egyptian bondage. Look at verse 10. Verse 10. "To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever." Now God in mercy was judging Egypt for his people's sake. And he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. Look with me here at verse 12. "With a strong hand and a stretched out arm," look at it, verse 12, "for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel, his people, to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, folks, listen to me. Look at verse 16. "To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever." Did you see what he said in verse 16? God was so merciful to Israel in the wilderness that he smote Pharaoh and his ugly host to free his people. He split the Red Sea, man, right down the middle. And his people went through on dry ground. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. Child of God, I'm here to tell you this morning that you have the greatest God this universe has ever known. The living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, beloved, I'm here to tell you that they needed mercy, the Israelites. They needed deliverance from Egyptian bondage. They needed God to bring them out. And he did. For his mercy endured forever. Don't you know, dear friends, that you and I were once in the same condition as these Israelites? Listen, we were in bondage to Satan. We were in bondage to the world. We were in bondage to sin. And we cried out to Jesus Christ to have mercy and save our pitiful hell-bound souls. And he did. For his mercy endureth forever. Isn't that beautiful? That I can go to any human being, give him a gospel tract, and tell him Jesus saves and he wants to be merciful to you. Oh, I'm so thankful for that this morning. Go to Luke chapter 18. Hold your place again in Psalm 136. We're coming right back. But look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Yeah, Luke 18. And look with me at verse 35. You know the passage here. It's blind Bartimaeus. And look what he says in Luke 18, verse 35. "And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. Now, before we continue reading here, notice that this man, he was both poor and blind. He needed mercy. Amen? Look at it. He found out Jesus was walking by. And he believed in Messiah. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have what?
Mercy on me.
Have mercy on me. Folks, you know that that is the only prayer that Jesus Christ wants to hear from a lost man?
Yes.
That's it. You can't ask him to bless you. You can't ask him to heal you. You can't ask him for anything until you ask him for this. Look at it. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't you know Jesus Christ wants to hear those? Look at verse 40. And Jesus stood. He stood still, Matthew says, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come unto him, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now listen, when Jesus heard the man cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. He said, boy, stop the train. Bring him over here. And then brought the man before Jesus. And Jesus said, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Look at it. 41. And the Lord said, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately, not after he was baptized, not after he joined the church, not after he became a tither, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Folks, the reason I'm reading this passage is that you've got to see that Jesus always hears the cry for mercy. Amen? He always hears that cry. In 1871, after General Lee surrendered to the North, thousands of Confederate soldiers were taken as POWs to Washington, D.C. And as President Lincoln, my favorite president of all time, addressed a huge crowd from the balcony of the White House, he spoke about going forward as one nation under God. And at the end of his speech, Senator Harlan shouted out, and what shall we do with these rebels from the South? Many in the great crowd shouted, hang them! Hang them all! Just then, little six-year-old Tad Lincoln turned to his father and said, no, no, Papa, don't hang them. Hang on to them. That's it, replied Lincoln joyfully. Tad is right. We must hang on to them as one nation. You know what those prisoners needed at that time? They needed mercy. They were going to hang them. And they needed mercy, and they found it in a great president, the greatest of all, Abraham Lincoln. Amen? Folks, you need mercy. Oh, but I'm saved already, Pastor. I said you need mercy.
Right.
It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how long I've been saved. I need His mercy every day.
Amen.
A wrong thought is sin.
That's right.
A misspoken word. You mistreat someone. Yeah, you know. I mean, folks, we need mercy every day. And I'm so thankful that He's got it for us. But something else this morning, quickly. We need to notice, secondly, what it is that they should do. Look with me here in Psalm 136. We've seen those who need the mercy, right? Now we need to see what it is that they should do. Look at verse 26 again. He says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endures forever. Now notice here, church, that we find the whole duty of every soul to learn to give thanks unto our Maker for bestowing His mercy upon the likes of us. Amen? That's something that I can be thankful for today. The mercy that He's bestowed upon me. You know what? You know what we'd get if we got what we deserved? We'd go to hell like a bullet. Every one of us deserve hell. Because every one of us has broken God's laws. Instead, we get mercy. You know what mercy means? Mercy is when you get something good when you should get something bad. Mercy is when God says, I'm going to pardon your sins and I'm going to take your punishment for you. Wow. You talk about mercy. And brethren, realize today that He didn't have to do it. God didn't have to die for you. God didn't have to send His Son. God didn't have to bring a gospel to this world that we might be saved. He could have wiped a whole bunch of us out if he chose to. God doesn't owe you or I anything. God is debtor to no man. And it is plainly due to his infinite mercy that we are not consumed. Folks, we need to understand what sin is. We need to understand what we really deserve from heaven. And it's not the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we get. That's because of his mercy. Do you realize that it is God's mercy that grants us our next breath? Do you realize that? Listen, it is God's mercy that allows us our next meal. Amen? It is God's mercy that provides a way of redemption for fallen man. It's nothing but filthy pride that says, I don't need God's mercy. I'm fine just the way I am. I don't need Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah? When you die, you might change your attitude. Because you need his mercy. Trust me. Now listen, from Christian Victory Magazine, author unknown. She wrote, O thou whose bounty fills my cup with every blessing meet, I give thee thanks for every drop, the bitter and the sweet. I thank thee for the desert road and for the riverside, for all thy goodness hath bestowed and all thy grace denied. I thank thee for both smile and frown and for the gain and loss. I thank thee for the future crown and for this present cross. I thank thee for both wings of love which stirred my worldly nest and for the stormy clouds which drove me from thy trembling to thy breast. I bless thee for the glad increase and for the waning joy and for this strange and settled peace which nothing can destroy. Nothing can destroy the peace of God in your soul. Amen? Are you thankful for it? It's by his mercy that you have peace with God today. It's only through his mercy. But thirdly, this morning, quickly, we need to observe to whom they should give thanks to. Look at verse 26 again. Who should they give thanks to? David writes, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. The God of heaven. Oh, folks, I've got good news this morning. The God of heaven, Jesus Christ, is the one that we need to give thanks for. He did it all. Amen? He did it all. I'm so glad that all I have to do is believe it. Simple. Folks, look with me here. The Creator of the world bestowed mercy. Look with me here in verse number 4. Don't miss this. To whom do we give thanks? To the one who made everything we see and touch. Look at it. Verse 4. To him alone. Notice that he didn't need any help. Yeah. He doesn't need your help in your Christian life. Just let him take care of everything. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. What is David describing in verses 4 through 9? The act of what? Begins with a C. Creation. He's saying he's the one, the creator of it all. You know what I'm thankful for today, folks? I am so thankful today that I am. Are you thankful that you are? You have a being because he granted you life. How thankful should we be for this incredible mercy of the Creator of all things? That he would love us enough to bestow mercy upon us. Wow. It just boggles my mind. Now, church, listen. I'm here to tell you this morning that we are living in a day and time when people are so unthankful, so ungrateful. This generation expects to have everything handed to them on a silver platter. They want it now. If they got to wait an extra minute for their McDonald's Big Mac, they get angry. I mean, this president has created a welfare-dependent society. Gimme, gimme, gimme! I got it coming! You owe me! They don't owe you anything. Listen, they're unthankful. Go to Luke chapter 6. Hold your place again. We're coming back. In Luke chapter 6, we've got an unthankful generation. And it's scary. In Luke chapter 6, look with me at verse 35. Words in red, who's speaking? Jesus Christ. Watch what he says. But love ye your enemies. Verse 35. But love ye your enemies. That's hard. That's a hard thing to do. Jesus says to do it. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Did you see what Jesus Christ just said? He said no matter how wicked, no matter how reprobate, no matter how evil a person is, God is good to him. God is good to him. He maketh his rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. He feedeth them. Amen? He is good to all, though they don't realize it. God is a good God, and God is merciful to all that were still breathing. Listen, Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Be thankful unto him, church, and bless his name. Yes, for the good and the bad. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, was once preaching in Chicago. Oh, thank you. And it was a Sunday morning. He was reading from the 103rd Psalm. But when he got to the verse, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, Moody paused. He stopped preaching and said, you can't remember them all, of course, but don't forget them all. Remember some of them, church. Amen? All his benefits. Remember some of them and be thankful for them. Why? Because all our blessings come from him. All of our blessings come from him. The great reformer Martin Luther was about to pass on to glory. He was on his deathbed. He wrote his last will and testament. And I quote, Lord God of heaven, I thank thee for that thou hast been pleased to use me, a poor and indigent man on earth. I have neither house nor land nor money to leave behind me. Thou hast given me a faithful wife and good children, whom I now commit to thee. Lord, nourish, teach, and preserve them as thou hast for me. Thank you, Lord. Signed, Martin Luther. His last will and testament. He said, I'm thankful, Lord, for all you've bestowed. And now I commit my family into your hands. Oh, the mercy of God, folks. It is just mind-boggling. But something else. Fourthly, this morning, we need to observe whose mercy it is. Back to our text in Psalm 136. Look with me in verse 26. He says, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, folks, listen carefully. David pinpoints exactly whose mercy it is. He says it's the God of heaven's mercy. Amen? It's the God of heaven's mercy to you and me. Now, listen. Look at verse 23. Who, speaking of this God of heaven, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath what?
Redeemed
us from our enemies. You've got enemies, child of God. Satan don't like you. His demons hate you. And if they could, they'd kill every one of us right now. They can't, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got enemies. But guess what? Verse 24 says, he hath redeemed us from our enemies. Great is his mercy. Amen? Folks, listen to me. Who did that? Look at verse 26. The God of heaven. He's the God of heaven. Now notice carefully the words, the God of heaven. It's his mercy. I'm so glad, beloved, that our God is the God of heaven today. Amen? We got the right one. Listen, he's not like the God of Islam. Oh, no, 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 no. He's the God of heaven. He's the God of heaven. He's not like the God of Hinduism, because he's the God of heaven. He's not like the God of Buddhism, or the New Age movement, or Sun Yung Moon. No, he's the God of heaven, and it's his mercy that allows anyone into it. Amen? He's the God of heaven. He holds the keys. He has the lock. He controls who gets in. Amen? Why? Because he's the God of heaven. He's the God of heaven. And if somebody thinks that they can bypass his son, Jesus Christ, and still go to heaven, the God of heaven says, no, you can't. No, you can't. Don't you dare approach me without going through my Son. He hath bestowed all judgment that they should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. Now, beloved, go to Psalm 147 quickly and look at this verse for a minute. In Psalm 147, we're almost done. In Psalm 147, look at verse 11. Verse 9. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Did you see what he said in verse 11? The Lord takes pleasure in those that fear him and hope in his mercy. We don't go up to God and say, oh boy, you really got something now, man. I can really get something accomplished for the kingdom of God. Shut up and sit down. No, you can't. You can't do nothing without Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, he says, I take pleasure in them that hope in my mercy. You know what that, in Luke chapter 17, I believe it is, that publican went up to the temple to pray and the Pharisee went in with him? And the Pharisee said, I thank thee, Lord, I'm not like this publican. I tithe all my increase and I go to temple 3 times a week. And the publican says, Lord, be what? Merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he went to his house justified rather than the other. Why? Because he was hoping in God's mercy. I love that verse in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not according to our righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy. You know why you're going to heaven? Because of his mercy. Oh, because I'm a good little two-shoes, Pastor. No, you're not. You're a sinner just like me. And you're saved by grace, and it's because of his mercy that you're going to heaven. I'm so thankful for that. Beloved, there are only 2 types of people in the world. Those who've received God's mercy and those who haven't. That's it. There's only 2 types. One is not better than the other, but one is much better off. Centuries ago, Queen Elizabeth, Empress of Austria, she'd often leave the confines of safety in her palace to venture out to the ghettos, where she would bestow errands, what she called errands of mercy, upon the hopeless and homeless. She knew no fear. She was fearless, like the twins. While alone, she penetrated into the darkest, poorest, and roughest areas of the ghetto, where none else would dare go. She brought food and blankets and medicine for the people. And they were so thankful. She became very dear to them, but they never knew who it was that blessed them. She was the Queen of Austria. They didn't know it. Most people don't understand who it is that blesses them. He's the God of heaven. Wow. That is a great privilege to know that the very God who made everything, including me, is merciful to me. Oh, glory to God, how we need to recognize that today. But finally, this morning, beloved, fifthly, we need to notice the duration of its bestowment. Back in our text, 136, Psalm 136, notice the duration of its bestowment. Verse 26, oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth. His mercy endureth. I'm so glad this morning that his mercy is going to endure forever and ever. The duration of its bestowment has no end. It has no end, people. Listen carefully, church. Here's the best news of all. That this incredible mercy of God will last you throughout all of eternity. Now, here's something to be thankful for. That because his mercy endureth forever, then you and I will be in the presence of the King, adoring him, worshiping him, enjoying his glorious love and tenderness forever and ever. Amen. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. It's all because his mercy endureth forever. Go to Psalm 103. Let's see where Luther was reading in Psalm 103, where he had to stop preaching and admire the text. in Psalm 103. Look with me at verse 15. Powerful passage here. Verse 15. David writes, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone." Don't put your trust in man. "And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." David says, "I've got something that you can trust in." The mercy of the Lord. Why? Because it's from everlasting past to everlasting future. Far as the east is from the west, no end. There's no end. It's forever. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Glory to God. Shortly after Queen Victoria, at the tender age of 18 years old, she was a teenager. She took the throne of England by succession. The magistrate, Chamberlain, presented to her several documents which required the Queen's signature. Amongst them, she noticed a sentence of death by hanging for a 20-year-old man, a young man who had stolen a loaf of bread. Listen, he stole a loaf of bread. They gave him the death penalty because he was hungry. Listen, the queen's signature, I gotta finish. The queen's signature was necessary in order for his execution to be carried out. And I must become, she said, and I must. All right, really, take her out, please. I need to finish this. The queen said, and I quote, "And I must become a party to his death?" asked the queen. "Yes, your majesty, unless you choose to use your royal prerogative of mercy." She said, "What's that?" He said, "You have the legal right as the queen to pardon him." She said, "Bring me the document." And she wrote, "Pardoned," across the face of it. Amen? Now, folks, listen. That's what Jesus Christ did for you. You owed him so much. You sinned so much. You got saved, and he wrote pardon across the document. Mercy forever and ever. You'll never suffer the wrath of God. You'll never touch the flames of hell. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for biblical thanksgiving. That, Lord, we are grateful this morning for the one thing that our poor souls needed most, and that was the mercy of God. Lord, how we thank you that you bestowed it abundantly. How we thank you that it will never run dry. Lord, I'm so thankful that the devil can bring no charge against a child of God because it's covered in the blood. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Lord, I thank you for this heritage of the saints of the Lord that we have. But above all, Lord, this morning, Thanksgiving morning, we thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus in order for us to be able to receive that mercy through the blood of his cross. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for it, and we count it our dearest treasure, recipients of the eternal mercy of God. Thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll stand for a closing hymn. And let's open up to hymn 13. Hymn 13, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Amen? That's what we're here to do. And we'll sing all four.
Royal diadem and crown.
cross right and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that's when yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and
church, it's going to be something special. We're going to have Brother Kyle dismiss us in prayer, and also hope you're hungry, because we got some food to eat. Thanksgiving dinner. Praise the Lord, and thank Him for His mercy. Kyle, also remember to pray for the food we're about to receive. Praise the Lord.
Mark, we thank you for the opportunity to come together.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord, to receive your message, to hear of your great mercy. We thank you that that mercy has been poured out upon each and every one of us, and that we just open our hearts and accept you, Lord, that we have the salvation that, that just can't die. It goes on and on forever. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you provide for us and every blessing you bestow. We thank you now, Lord, for the food that has been prepared, that will be set before us, for the meal that we can have and enjoy as one large family. And we ask you, Lord, to bless the hands that have prepared this food so lovingly. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.